episode 3 of the Downtown Phoenix Podcast. It's the 17th of March, 2014, and I'm your host, Edward Jensen. Welcome back. The Downtown Phoenix Podcast is a presentation of Edward Jensen Urban Productions, and this episode was recorded in the community studio space of Downtown Phoenix, Inc. My thanks, as usual, to R.J. Price and Anna Concy for helping assemble the equipment and providing the space for the podcast. While we make no pretense on this program that we air live, live is an aspiration of ours, we try to be timely in the content of our program. In this episode of the podcast, we will be talking about a major event that is happening next Thursday evening, the release of the new master plan for downtown's Hants Park. In its 22-year history as a park, and in the decades prior to that, as the I-10 corridor was being discussed and debated, Hants Park has been many things to many people. As a neighborhood park for our downtown neighbors, or a sore spot on how to humanely work with the homeless population, but lately, it's been an arts and cultural park anchored by the Phoenix Center for the Arts and the McDowell Mountain Music Festival. First, though, some perspective. There have been a lot of stories flying around about what the Enhanced Park celebration is on the 27th of March from 5 to 8 p.m. As we see it here at the podcast, the celebration isn't about the completion of a process. Were it that, this plan would end up as yet another plan sitting on a shelf at Phoenix City Hall. As we see it, this celebration is the kickoff for the multi-generation project that is the rebirth of Hants Park as a truly urban park in the emerging urban community of Phoenix. While we're generally loath to use phrases like watershed moment or turning point in our conversations here, this kickoff event has the potential to be one of those events. Dozens of community meetings with packed houses have been held since the master plan design team started their work in September 2013. The interim design presentations have had capacity crowds at their respective auditoria. Estimates of attendance for the 27th of March Enhance event are in the thousands. The point that's being made here is this. There is a considerable desire that Phoenix should have a forward-thinking urban park. And there is consensus that it should be Hants Park. It's up to us to get that park built and to get the density built around the park to make it an urban park in an urban community. On this All Hants Park episode of the Downtown Phoenix Podcast, my first guest is Ann Wheat. Ann is the Acting Deputy Director of the Downtown Division for the City of Phoenix Parks and Recreation Department. I spoke with her on Friday, February 28th, to get her perspective on the city's role in the Hants Park master plan process, a brief overview of the history of Hants Park, and also to talk with her about her history of involvement in the city of Phoenix as she is a fourth generation Phoenician. My conversation with Ann was recorded in the Downtown Phoenix Inc. studios in Downtown Phoenix. And Ann Wheat, welcome to the Downtown Phoenix Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get going on this. Talk to me a little bit about the history of Hants Park as a city park and what it has been and what what the master plan process is.
Margaret T. Hants Park has, I think, a really interesting history in Phoenix. The park was actually built on top of 19 bridges over the last stretch of the I-10 freeway to ever be built that connected the east and west coasts. At the time that the freeway was built, it was it made a cut through a historic neighborhood. And the park was built as a deck park as a means to try to knit that neighborhood back together and try to, take care of some of the scarring that was done by building a freeway through a old historic neighborhood. So it was first had its first master plan design done in 1989, and I believe it was completed in 1992.
So walk me through from about 1992 to 2010, and the changing landscape of Phoenix growing up or regrowing up around the park, and what
what has happened to it in the years from about 92 to 2010?
So the original park was built, and it really was envisioned. It's almost a 33-acre park, and it was envisioned to have a neighborhood park feel on the west end, more of an urban plaza feel in the central part of the park, and the east side would be the cultural event festival area of the park. A couple of things happened along the way. The original master plan was never really fully built out. Also, because it's a deck park, there have always been some challenges with connectivity. So we have this large park in downtown Phoenix, and many people don't even know its existence. You can drive over Central Avenue Bridge, which spans the middle of the park, and not even know you're crossing the park. Many Phoenicians have known it as Deck Park, but clearly there were some challenges there, lighting challenges and connectivity, and just allowing that park to really be fully realized. It has been a park that has had a lot of community attention and care given to it over the years. So the community's always been really invested in trying to envision what that park really should be. And back in about 2010, the community really was noticing more problems with homelessness and some transient issues and challenges with the park, and really started a conversation with the Parks and Rec Department in the city to say, we really want to look at finally allowing Hants Park to become the signature urban park of Phoenix. Every great city has a great urban park, and it's something that Phoenix still needs to create. And here we have this amazing 33 acres of open park in downtown Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So it really, I believe this process is really going to give it its opportunity. The Parks and Recreation Board ultimately put together a steering committee that was chaired by one of the Parks Board members, Sarah Porter, mm-hmm. and that had a very large community engagement process. And ultimately, after many community meetings and gathering a lot of public input, they put together a summary report that really made the recommendation that Phoenix go out and hire a world-class design team that really could come in and, without limitations, create a uniquely Phoenix signature park for Phoenix. And that is what we're about to have completed. We had about 20 design teams actually compete. It was a very competitive RFQ process. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the design team that was selected brings together some amazing, incredible talent, both local, national, and international. And so for the better part of the last 8 months or so, they have been involved in remaster planning the park.
That's excellent. What is the relationship of the city of Phoenix as the maintainer of Hants Park and the Arizona Department of Transportation, on whose piece of infrastructure the park sits?
This is a very interesting park on many levels. We are in a lease arrangement with Arizona Department of Transportation mm-hmm. for the development, maintenance, and operation of Hants Park. And that includes many of the facilities that are on the park. And that has been really quite a good working relationship for us over the years, and is something that we will, continue to work on. It's part of its unique nature of being a park that's built on over a freeway on 19 bridges. Mm-hmm. So with the nonprofit operators of many of our facilities within the parks, they have agreements with us to operate those facilities and work with parks in a public-private partnership arrangement to activate those spaces and deliver wonderful cultural services to the community.
How has the relationship between Hants Park Conservancy and City of Phoenix Parks Department matured over the years of the Conservancy's operation?
I think that I have found as the acting deputy with the downtown division, I have the opportunity to work with Hants Park Conservancy members very closely. And I have found it to be a really good working relationship. I think that if you look at most conservancies around the country that are attached to supporting parks, they all have had to work very hard to build their capacity over the years and find their way forward. Currently, we're looking at formalizing the relationship between the Hants Park Conservancy and the Parks Department a little more formally to really help to clarify what everybody's roles and responsibilities would be and how we actually work together where we're not duplicating services or reinventing the wheel. How can we be most efficient in our reach, and how can we really make this go forward? So I think it's been and continues to be a very strong and ongoing relationship, and one that I hope we'll continue to nurture along the way.
We'll have someone later on from the Hants Park Conservancy join us. But from the city side, if someone is near a neighborhood park, very close to their neighborhood park, and they want to maybe create their own conservancy for it, how do they get started? And how do they reach out to the city to get some support or recognition for those efforts?
I will tell you, we have many parks that have associations, neighborhood associations that take on a role, an active role in helping to support program services or upgrades to parks, such as Encanto Park. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that a community member should do is reach out to their Parks Division office and contact the staff there to talk about and explore the ideas. I will tell you historically, as we've really put a lot of research into other cities and sustainable models for conservancies and foundations that are attached to supporting large parks, oftentimes the model is that for smaller parks, there will be an umbrella nonprofit organization or conservancy that really folds a lot of smaller parks under it. It's a tough road to really get out and raise the kind of money, mm-hmm. and then also make sure that you're not competing with other small conservancies. Oftentimes, we are our strongest when we come together. Foundations love partnership. They mm-hmm. love collaboration, and it makes for us kind of a stronger approach. So I think we still are learning our lessons and finding our way. We have some good local models, and the place to start is with that division staff and start a conversation.
There's a major event coming up next week on the 27th, correct?
That's correct.
The Hants Park Master Plan Festival. Talk to me a little bit about what that event is all about.
The road for the community and the Parks Department has been a long and busy one to get to this point. And there are many, many people in the community who are just really excited that the final master plan is about to be presented to the community. And it has been a very strong community engagement process. So from the start, this design team has worked starting from what the community has said they wanted and trying to then place that into a very exciting plan. We have gotten such big turnout. Our interim master plan presentation, we had more than 300 people show up, and we actually had some people who had to be turned away. So we thought, what better place to present the final master plan than out on the grounds of Hants Park? McDowell Mountain Music Festival has been kind enough to allow us use of their stage setup.
Oh, wow.
Their big festival starts the following day. And really, with just the strong support of the community and contributions, we have a very exciting celebration planned. I don't want to lead anyone who's a listener to the conclusion that we have the money and we're going to roll right into building Phoenix's iconic park. That will be the next step, and that's something the community will be engaged with parks and the city down the road. But this is clearly a very important milestone. And I think that everyone should come out, be a participant, and see what this amazing park design will have to offer them and their families. Ultimately, it is and needs to be and should be a park for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It is the place where everyone can gather, where we can celebrate all of our unique, you know, cultures and backgrounds and heritage and history and arts of this amazing city we live in. And I encourage everyone to come out and enjoy the celebration.
You bring up a very good comment that I'm sure everyone has in the back of their mind. What's next for the park? And how are, what mechanisms are out there? And what can we as citizens of the city of Phoenix do to help the process along to make sure that this master plan that will be presented on the 27th actually comes to fruition at Hans Park?
One of the things that will be part of, and just a brief part, but part of the presentation will be some discussion about that. As part of the design team's deliverables, we will, as a city, be getting more information from them on total anticipated cost, as well as operating and maintenance costs,
mm-hmm.
so that we can thoughtfully plan toward this. And then we will also have some recommendations from a very strong consultant in this field on how the city can really look at, and the community, on leveraging different resources so that we can ultimately create this park. So that will be something that we are going to be getting some further information from experts. We'll be all looking at that closely, and it will ultimately be, as it has been for other cities and their great parks, a combination of government dollars and private dollars coming together. So I think that's a conversation that is going to be an interesting one, an exciting one, and one that we can all look forward to having a part in.
The event on the 27th is free admission, correct?
Absolutely free admission.
And what, in addition to the master plan, what other events and festivities will be happening at that event?
So it will really have a celebratory feel. So we want everyone to just come on out. We will have some wonderful local talent up on our stage, including a number of very talented young people through Arizona School for the Arts, Rosie's House, Youth Mariachi Group. I believe we'll have a taiko drummers, so nice cross-cultural representation, and then after the presentation, we'll finish with Crisis up on stage. We also will have a beer and beverage garden, food trucks out there, so I think we'll have great weather and a good time.
Excellent. And on one final note, and I understand your family has had quite a presence in Phoenix and in Arizona for quite some time. Can you talk to me a little bit about your
Sure.
history and your family's Yes. history here in Arizona and in Phoenix?
I'm proud to say I'm a fourth generation Phoenician and Arizonan. I was born here in Phoenix, North Central Phoenix, back when that was the edge of our city. I'm dating myself a little bit, but. Yes, I'm very blessed that my family did come here long ago. My great-grandfather actually started the first nursery, the Riverside Nursery. My grandfather had a number of nurseries. My father, third-generation landscape architect, and my oldest sister was fourth-generation in that business. And they did a lot of early propagating of drought-tolerant plants, and many of those are the plants we use today.
Wow!
And so it's a nice family legacy, and I'm very proud to call Phoenix home, and I'm really honored to have this opportunity as a public servant to I think play a meaningful role in working with the community and continue to make our community better. It's my home, and I think it always will be.
Well, we're fortunate to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. And that was Ann Wheat, the acting downtown director for the City of Phoenix Parks and Recreation Department. We will move on without delay to my next guests, Phil Weddle and Chris Floor. They are two of the lead designers on the new Hans Park Master Plan team. They spoke with me on March the 4th, 2014, to learn about what their role is in giving a new master plan for Hans Park. And Phil Weddle, Chris Floor, welcome to the Downtown Phoenix podcast. let's start and talk a little bit about what is the Hants Park Master Plan design. There have been community meetings. What has the evolution of that plan been from the first design meetings to what we'll see in next week?
Well, I think we've been throughout the process developing concepts that have been trying to respond to the feedback that we've received from the community. So I think one of the things that's been a common theme throughout the process for the project that has really been a community-driven process to initiate the project and has definitely been a community-driven process to kind of forward the design. So there are a variety of concepts that have come out of that, including the zoning of the park, looking at, essentially utilizing the eastern part of the park much more as kind of the event kind of centric, the kind of civic centric activities, and then the kind of daily urban activities at the Central Avenue near the light rail stations and the library, and then very much more of a neighborhood type of activity zone for the western edges of the park that are connected more to the historic neighborhoods.
How many community meetings were held between when your team was awarded the contract to do the new master plan and when the first release of a draft plan? How many meetings were there?
Well, it depends on how you count. We did a series of because there's different strategies we used for engaging the community to gain their feedback. The formal stakeholder workshops that we facilitated in September, I believe we had 9 or 10 of those over about an 8-day period with different stakeholder groups. We had probably in the neighborhood of 300 people that participated in those workshops over that 8-day period. But leading up to that, we did much more informal type of community engagement, trying to get community input at Feast on the Street and at the summer solstice event at the library. So we really tried to look for multiple avenues to engage the community so that it wasn't really a one-size-fits-all.
We also have the Facebook page, which we've gained a lot of input from the community at large, including students at ASU, interested residents across the valley, and people that have attended the community meetings that we've had but didn't feel comfortable necessarily speaking in a large format. We've gained a lot of information from them through Facebook.
When you presented ideas to the community at the meetings, it was pictures of other parks and elements in other parks. What inspirations might we see from other parks in a redesigned Hants Park?
I think there's several things that have driven, several types of things that have inspired the project and have really helped to drive the design. Throughout the community feedback, we did always talk about and reference other significant urban parks because people have experienced them, they're familiar with them. It gives them a point of beginning. And so we talked about a lot of the great urban parks around the world and what were the different features that that drew them, that inspired them in those parks. So some of the kind of usual suspects that you would see there, the Millennium Parks of the world, the Central Parks, and I think some of the other kind of very active parks that have kind of arts and culture components that have significant kind of public art elements, that have performance opportunities, that have a vibrant daily urban life component to them. Those are the things that seem to resonate with people. But the other issue that we heard from the community meetings that I think is really important to acknowledge that really was a driver in the design is that people were looking for a park that was unique to Phoenix. So they're not looking for a Millennium Park. They're looking for a desert park that has some of those types of inspirations and those types of elements. So we've tried very hard to develop a park that has unique features that really ties specifically to this Phoenix environment.
What are some of those elements that are unique to a Phoenix urban park?
Well, I think that if you look at even some of the metaphors that are driving the design concepts, we've tried to tie into metaphors that are desert centric. So whether that's the plateau or the canyons or the valleys, there are these kind of landform metaphors that we use to start to drive the design. We've talked about, you know, buttes and mounds, and really it's the kind of landforms that surround our valley that make our valley a unique place to live. And so we've tried to use that as an inspiration, even down to the cloud that spans over Central Avenue, which is something that, you know, in this kind of desert environment with the big skies, and you have these kind of amazing cloud structures. So it's we've tried to use that as a metaphor that has driven a lot of the design concept.
What has the relationship of you as design team been with the neighboring stakeholders around the park and all the different organizations and businesses that surround Hants Park? How have they been involved in the design of their front yard or their backyard?
Well, we've had an extensive amount of meetings with these various stakeholders, and I think in part because many of those people had already come together through the Hants Park Conservancy, which created a kind of organized group that had a very diverse background. And so it gave us, I think, a very clear group of people to meet with and to talk to, because they were the ones who actually initiated this process to begin with. But, you know, our team has met with all of those stakeholders on multiple occasions to try to review the progress of the design and to make sure that it's being responsive to their goals and their visions. And I think overall, we have had an amazing amount of support. I mean, it's almost unheard of in a project of this scale and this magnitude, especially in a downtown urban environment, to have the kind of strength of support that we've seen to date. And we really need that to move this project forward. I mean, it's just, can't overemphasize how important it is that we have strong community support for this project to go forward, because it's going to take a long-term commitment to make it happen. And I think that's really the value of having such a strong community outreach process.
I had the benefit of being part of the Hants Park Conservancy since it started in 2010, and that allowed me to listen to what everybody had to say about what the advantages were and the challenges of being next to Hants Park, and how they would like, how each of the stakeholders, especially the cultural institutions, would like to benefit more from Hants Park, and how they could build relationships with each other. Because before the Conservancy, actually, everybody was sort of in their own silo. The Conservancy brought everybody together in one group, and that group decided, for the most part, what the vision they saw for the Hants Park as it moved forward. So that was a big help as we started. And it was just building on relationships from there.
So let's talk a little bit about implementation. Is the plan written or designed in such a way that it is easy to phase or to implement in different parts as funds become available?
We've certainly approached the design from that perspective. Our assumption going into it is, given the size of the park and the magnitude of the project, that it would more than likely be implemented in multiple phases. So we have tried to design the park in such a way to where it could be implemented in phases as we go forward.
So let's fast forward then to next week. What are we going to see? What will be the new vision for Hants Park?
Well, I think some of the things that we'll be showing next week are things that the community has seen before. We'll be showing kind of refined and more developed master plans. So those are things that aren't going to be surprises for people. It's going to be just an evolution of what they've seen before. Some of the things, though, that we're very excited that we're going to be showing next week that people haven't seen before is we're looking at doing a series of 3D perspective views, including some animated fly-through, which we think will give people a much better sense of what the kind of experiential quality of the park is, and will give them a much better sense of what the overall character of the park is.
shift gears a little bit. You two have worked together professionally for many years. What are some, if we're wanting a sample of some of your works around town, what are some projects that you've worked on collaboratively in Phoenix?
Well, Chris and I have worked together for about 15 years. Our firms have worked together for over 15 years, actually, on a variety of projects around the community. Beginning with work that we completed at the Phoenix Zoo, we've done a number of projects at the Phoenix Zoo, including master planning for the Phoenix Zoo. More recently, we worked together on the Rio Salado Audubon Center along the Rio Salado. And then in North Scottsdale, we've done several park projects together, including Doc Cavalier Park and the McDowell Mountain Ranch Park and Aquatic Center, both in North Scottsdale.
Excellent. Phil Weddle of Weddle Gilmore, Chris Floor of Floor & Associates, Landscape Architects. Thanks for joining me. My last guest on the podcast for the conversation about Hants Park is Lillian Habish of the Hants Park Conservancy. She joined me in the downtown Phoenix studios on March 7th, 2014, to talk about what the Conservancy is doing as a new model for park conservancies in the city of Phoenix. And Lillian Habish from the Hants Park Conservancy, welcome.
Thank you, Eddie.
Let's start off, what exactly is the Hants Park Conservancy?
The Hants Park Conservancy is a group of mainly cultural institutions, also neighborhood associations, and a corporation that got together a couple of years ago, started a couple of years ago, actually at the kind of the suggestion also of the Roosevelt Action Association, got together to, with the purpose of activating or, you know, Hants Park itself, okay? And all of these cultural institutions actually surround it. And currently the organization itself calls these entities and our groups neighboring stakeholders because they pretty much surround the park. And they've gotten together to activate the park and work through some of the initiatives that are actually going on with Hants Park. For instance, I know you've already spoken to those individuals, but there was a steering committee that was called by the city to essentially figure out what they were going to do in terms of reactivating a master plan. And so that called for a design team, and that, you know, plan is being unveiled and on March 27th. So what we have done over time is work with all of those bodies, including the city, and also the Department of Transportation and other institutions to essentially kind of steward that.
Who are some of the neighborhood stakeholders of the that are a part of the Conservancy?
The main ones that you'll see are, for instance, the Japanese Friendship Garden, the library, that's more of an ex officio organization, but the Friends of the Library, also the Arizona Humanities Council, Phoenix Center for the Arts has assisted us. Also, let's see, oh, Irish Cultural Center, can't forget them. and then the various neighboring neighborhood associations also, like Evans Churchill, Roosevelt Row, like I said, the was it Roosevelt Action Association, and Canto, and so forth. So I think those.
One of the parts that you're working on, something that we discussed earlier with Ann Weed of the City of Phoenix, is how the relationship will unfold between the Conservancy and the City of Phoenix. This is a new model in the City of Phoenix, a conservancy approach, although it has been done to great extent in other cities. From the Conservancy's point of view, what is the relationship between your organization and the City of Phoenix?
Well, right now, the Hants Park Conservancy has essentially monthly meetings where all of those neighboring stakeholders get together to, you know, discuss various issues and kind of move forward the formation of the organization itself and their cooperation. Okay. That is kind of the uniqueness of the Hants Park Conservancy, where formerly all of those institutions were working essentially separately. But now, and some of them, frankly, beforehand, didn't really know each other. And if you're, you know, sit at the meetings, you'll kind of hear that sometimes, that they didn't really know each other, know who they were. And so there's a lot more kind of cooperative effort going on based on the fact that those monthly meetings take place. And that can, you know, you can see that in, you know, various events and so forth. With respect to the city, the city is actually always invited to our meetings and is usually present. And right now, we've actually begun negotiations of a memorandum of understanding with the city, which various, you know, public-private partnerships usually kind of have that kind of an agreement. And so all of that right now is being worked out in terms of how the relationship is going to be moving forward. You know, right now the city, you know, takes care of maintenance and, you know, events and so forth. And we anticipate down the line that there will be more cooperative events that the, you know, Hants Park Conservancy will sponsor and so forth. But those will be in cooperation with the city.
When Hants Park Conservancy was in its formation stages, what other conservancies did it use as models for seeing what might work the best here in Phoenix?
I think that's actually been kind of a process. Over time, various committees, you know, depending on what, you know, kind of issue would come up or things that we wanted to examine or look at, we would look at various conservancy models around the country. An individual that was actually helpful to us is Dale Larson, who is a professor of practice at Arizona State University currently. And he did also analysis that assisted us in coming up with our Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, in terms of several conservancies. We have looked to Central Park Conservancy and also have a consultant who's actually from works with the Bryant Park Conservancy. So we have, you know, been exposed to a lot of their models, and actually our MOU is modeled after almost directly the Piedmont, which is in Georgia, conservancies. Memorandum of Understanding. So all of those we've examined, but there are some unique aspects to the Hants Park Conservancy. And that's actually a good thing, but there's also some challenges with it, in that it is very unique to have the 20-plus stakeholders be these groups that are actually the members of the conservancy, which is a little bit different than some of the other models. And to see that kind of cooperative effort come to the fore is actually really exciting and really nice and refreshing. The thing that is a little bit different, though, here is that in contrast to Central Park or Bryant Park, Phoenix doesn't necessarily have the urban core that some of the other cities that we're examining, you know, do. And so that's, you know, one of the challenges in terms of, you know, moving forward, having the, you know, the idea is to actually have an iconic park or have something that defines or gives an identity to Phoenix. And there is a potential for this park to do that, to actually be that kind of an iconic destination park. But it's going to require kind of the entire city to kind of get on board with that.
Well, you mentioned the phrase iconic park, and that reminds me of your group's mission statement. Would you share that for us?
Sure. It's actually, if it's stated as, the mission of the Hants Park Conservancy is to activate and unite our community by promoting the creative use of public space and a vibrant arts and cultural experience in downtown Phoenix.
That's a good statement. So the big Enhance event is next Thursday on the 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. What is the Conservancy's role in making sure that this new master plan becomes the new park as opposed to just a plan in a binder sitting on a shelf somewhere?
Well, if there's a piece of the mission that's what we're hoping that we'll have the effect on, it's that. Right now, the current role with that event, which is actually an event that is going to be presenting the final master plan to the public. That's what the design team is going to be doing that evening. And so there's a celebration surrounding that. But just our current role today with that event is to really unite all of those neighboring stakeholders, cultural institutions, and so forth, to bring out everyone and get everyone to, you know, be curious about it, want to attend it, basically bring the numbers. And so that more and more people are aware of, you know, what is going on in Hants Park, and that there is actually a name besides the Deck Park for it, that it is an urban park, and that, you know, there is momentum behind actually creating this kind of iconic center of Phoenix. So that's, you know, currently what we're doing is just, you know, getting the numbers out for that event. And then down the line, with that kind of momentum, essentially trying to attract individuals who essentially want to make that kind of thing happen and can cooperate with our organization to do so.
And last question, if people want to get involved in the mission and the work of the Hants Park Conservancy, how can they do that?
I would say the best idea would be to actually attend the event on March 27th, which is on the east side of the park, and come by. There will be a Hants Park Conservancy booth with all kinds of information there, and you'll see some of our neighboring stakeholders and members, and we will have some sign-in sheets in terms of, you know, various levels of volunteering and so forth. So we'd love to see you and have you there.
Lillian Habish of the Hants Park Conservancy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Eddie.
And that was Lillian Habish of the Hants Park Conservancy. Thanks to her, and thanks to Ann Wheat of the City of Phoenix and Phil Weddle and Chris Floor from the Master Plan Design Team to talk a little bit about the pieces of the puzzle in play for the new Hants Park Master Plan. We hope you will join them and us on the 27th of March from 5 to 8 p.m. at Hants Park for the unveiling of the new Hants Park Master Plan. There will be food, there will be beverages, there will be live entertainment from mini groups, and it will be a fun time. We hope that you will be there. And again, that's 5 to 8 p.m. on the 27th of March. More information is on our website at downtownphoenixpodcast.com, and you can also find our community calendar with all of the community meetings and fun events that are happening. Again, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. Again, thanks to Ann Wheat, Phil Weddle, Chris Floor, and Lillian Habish for joining me in conversation. And thanks also to Downtown Phoenix, Inc. for providing studio space for the Downtown Phoenix podcast. We will be back next week. So long. This is the Downtown Phoenix podcast, an Edward Jensen urban production.